Hello. Just an unrelated idea for today, for a change. No politics. Pure biology. Do you know how sex is determined in herrings? That's actually very interesting. All herrings, as they hatch, are boys. And they live their lives as boys until they mature and gain weight. Enough weight to support, to produce viable eggs. So all young boys are boys and they inseminate eggs that float around because fish, external insemination and everything. And so they emit sperms, they emit masculine gametes into the water until they gain enough weight to produce eggs. Then they all turn into females. So as boys mature, they became females and they start producing eggs. That's sexual determination in herrings. So basically, your sex is determined by your maturity. But your maturity is very hardly linked, not correlated, well, physically linked with your body weight and particularly with fat proportion in your body. So when you ate enough krill or whatever herrings eat, if you ate enough food to develop enough fat in your body to survive through pregnancy, then you're ready to become a female and you become a female. The question is how? How your body determines the perfect moment when it is ready to become a female, when it is not too early and when it is not too late. So, how does your body know that it is ready to produce viable eggs in sufficient quantities so that to switch your reproductive strategy? Well, maybe I need to digress into the viability of this strategy. So this reproductive strategy is very smart because it allows every individual fish to explore both alternatives, to explore the alternative of a male when there is no option for this fish to be a female because it's too small, and later on to switch to female strategy and explore this strategy too. So every single set, every single genome, every single a set of genes in every individual has an opportunity to test if it makes a good male and if it makes a good female. If it makes at least one, if every particular genome does at least one job great, proficiently, then it reproduces. If it does both jobs great, then it reproduces twice as much. It's very interesting, and it allows an individual, not as a genome, but as a body, to not waste time for growing up. Because if we have separate females and males, then at least females need to waste quite a lot of time, maybe a year or two. I don't know how long does herring mature. Well, if you are a separate female that has no option to produce masculine gametes, then you have to eat your weight and you have to mature, and before you mature you have no option for reproduction, so you waste time. Your biomass floating in the ocean without producing offspring. So it's wasteful. And herrings economize. Herrings put both genders in a single body so that every single body, every individual does not waste time. Nobody floats around without reproduction. Every herring hour like man hours, like herring hours, you get the gist. So every herring hour is utilized for reproduction. No waste at all. So there are two major advantages to this type of sex determination. So no wasted energy for a species, for a population. And second, for an individual, double chances for reproduction. And not just double chances, chances in both opposite directions. So complete exploration of the options for reproduction. So this is a smart strategy. But the question remains, how does an individual body determine when to switch genders? The answer is very, very simple. The body fat. If you have enough body fat, then it is time to produce estrogens and to produce eggs. That's it. But more details needed. How? Okay. Half of the question answered, but it's not a complete answer. It's shifting of the question. We shifted question to the body fat. So how does an individual herring diagnose its own fat amount? Yeah, quantity. I forgot the word for quantity. How does an individual herring determine its own fat quantity, amount of fat in its own body? And here I'm going to speculate. And my conjecture is that the fat itself is somehow involved in the hormonal production of a herring body. So that the fat itself, this fat tissue, is involved in estrogen production. So that when the amount of fat tissue increases in the body, it facilitates the shift in the hormonal balance of this body. I'm not saying that this fat tissue produces estrogens, but probably it is producing some catalysts or signal molecules. Well, it must be involved, quantitatively involved, in the process of estrogen production. So that the more fat you accumulate in your body, the better is estrogen production process in your body, quantitatively wise, quantity wise. And that's herrings, that's fish. And this is a very, very ancient mechanism. It must be ancient. It must be very ancient mechanism. And if this mechanism predates the separation of amphibians from fish, then it is bound to be inherited by us humans. So when you say something like overweight men are feminine or appear feminine and draw correlations between the amount of fat tissue in males and the lack of testosterone and the excess of estrogen in fat males, the causal link could be quite the opposite of what you are thinking about. That's it. I think this is a very interesting observation for our dear banana John Q. Publius. And given that these articles about fitness, well, they gained quite a lot of comments on his website. So I assume Banana's audience is very interested in fitness and physiology of human males. So consider this observation of mine. Thanks.